RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Nisma. First, the headline. Freeport must restore environmental damage if proven guilty. Pelindo 2 enjoys surge in profit. And now the news in detail. Jakarta residents will soon be able to get a queue number for applying or renewing their passport online under a new service which will take effect starting on May 16. Passport applicants can download the passport queue application via their smartphone. The online application service is still on a trial basis, and for the time being, it will be valid only at the Class 1 South Jakarta Immigration Office. Immigration Directorate General Secretary Freeman F.S. Aruan said the service is provided because people have to stand in long lines at the immigration offices either to renew their passport or to apply for new documents. Freeman has said recently that passport application is online based. Hence the applicant can access the queue system via their smartphone. For the time being, only Android phone can access the system, which the systemized program, he said, applicants would have a well-arranged schedule on what day or what time they should come to immigration offices to submit their passport application document. Supreme Audit Agency BPK stated that Freeport Indonesia has caused environmental damages by dumping their mining waste to the surrounding forest, river, outfalls, and sea. The damage is said to be worth 185 trillion rupiah. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, affirmed that Freeport must restore the environmental damages if they are proven guilty. He also explained that there are no special treatment between Freeport and other companies. Minister Luhut promised that he would personally pursue the U.S.-based mining company if the allegations are proven to be true. BPK recorded 5 Freeport's violations throughout the 2013-2015 contract of work. The company is allegedly operated their activities in 4,535,093 hectares of national reserve without the proper permit throughout 2008 till 2015. This mining activity has violated Law No. 41, 1999, and Law No. 19, 2004, that regulate forestry. Indonesian state-owned port operator PT Pelindo 2 has recorded a surge in its revenue, profit, and container traffic in the first quarter of this year, attributing the achievement to the improving economy. In the January-March period, the company booked 2.3 trillion or around $172.4 million in revenue, up by 21% from 1.9 trillion rupiah in the corresponding period last year, while its earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization, EBITDA, increased by 3.4% to 908 billion. Pelindo II President Director Alvin G. Masaya said in Jakarta on Tuesday, May 11, that this is directly related to the improvement in the Indonesian economy as well as the trade domestic flow. He said that it is also related to the surge in container traffic volume, which jumped to 1.71 million total equivalent units, or TEUs, from 1.44 million TEUs last year. Meanwhile, the surge is also seen in its non-container cargo traffic, which increased by 7.06% to 7.88 million tons. Six Japanese citizens have been deported to their home country via Sentani Airport, Jayapura, Papua, over alleged visa misuse. Jayapura Immigration Office Head Yopi Wati Mena said in Jayapura on Thursday, May 11, that the six Japanese citizens were found to have illegally taken pictures for a documentary film in Wamena. They did not have journalist visas needed to carry out such activities. They came to Wamena to make a movie about indigenous tribes in Papua. They recorded several scenes in the Korowai and Mamuna tribal communities in the southeast Papua remote area before they moved to Wamena and got arrested there. The six Japanese nationals are identified as Toba Takashi, Kanemitsu Toshiya, Takezawa Yoshihiro, Konzono Ryo Tai Kakuma, and Sugai Suichi. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Export of palm oil product increased by 23.5% year-on-year, YOY, to 8.02 million tons in the first quarter of this year. Data from the Indonesia Association of Oil Palm Producers, GAPKI, shows. GAPKI Executive Director Fadril Hasan said in a recent press statement that the figure is due to increase in global palm oil consumption along with the increase in population. Export in March decreased by 5% month-on-month to 2.53 million tons due to the slowing global demand, especially from India and China, to which export dropped by 27% and 18% respectively. Palm oil export to India and China accounted for 430,030 tons and 322,140 tons, respectively. India is expected to continue to hold back on buying more palm oil and stock more repressed oil instead, as import tariffs on the latter were lower to 10% from 30% starting on April 1st. Export increases were booked for the United States and European Union with 52% and 27%, or 283,380 tons and 446,920 tons, respectively. The second Makassar International Aid Festival and Forum is slated to take place in Makassar, South Sulawesi on September 6 to 10. Makassar Mayor Muhammad Ramdan Pumanto has said recently in Depok, West Java, that the five-day festival, dubbed 8F, will feature more than 100,000 art performances, ranging from fashion to fiction writing. More visitors are expected this year compared with last year's inaugural event. He also said that local government has set a target to attract 1 million visitors to this year's festival. Meanwhile, Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya said the target is within reach because the festival organizers have come up with a more attractive concept. Minister Arief also affirmed that last year the festival managed to attract 300,000 visitors, surpassing the initial target of 60,000. This year's 1 million visitor target seems attainable. He is sure that the festival is appealing after seeing live performance previews during the launch event. And the last item. Jakarta High Court has received the jail sentence suspension request letter submitted by lawyers of the former Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahaya Purnama. The court spokesman Johannes Suhadi said that the letter will be given to the panel of judges who handle Basuki's case to be evaluated. Johannes said on Tuesday that the result will be decided after the evaluation. Basuki's arrest warrant was issued by North Jakarta District Court on Tuesday, May 9, as he is proven to be guilty of blaspheming Islam. Basuki is charged to a 2-year jail sentence by the court. Johannes showed the detention letter and 7 other letters that are stated to guarantee for Basuki's suspended jail term. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Freeport must restore environmental damage if proven guilty. Pelindo 2 enjoys surge in profit. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listener, the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan, Takashi Kawai from Japan, Akio Uemura from Japan, Prithviraj Purkayastha from India, Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India, Adita Pritika Subramanian from India, Titong Yang from China, Kong Lei from China, Chao Yanping from China, and Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia.
Listener, a commentary today entitled South Korean Policy Post President-elect Moon Jae-in. South Korea is entering a new phase after Moon Jae-in becomes the winner as the newly elected president of South Korea. Moon Jae-in, who is a liberal politician, won the majority vote against his rivals Hon Jun-pyo, South Gyeongsang Province Governor, and An Chol-soo, a former political ally who is also Moon's best friend. Moon Jae-in, as reported by South Korean media in the campaign period, had indeed become a favorite presidential candidate. This is because at the time, the conservative camp was struggling to rise from a corruption scandal that had caused the fall of President Park Geun-hye. Moon's victory has actually made the conservative camp forage that its government will change policy in terms of relations with North Korea and United States. The worry arises because during his campaign, Moon Jae-in has vowed to improve relations with the communist country North Korea. Moon was who eventually elected as the new president of South Korea also expressed his intention to review the U.S. anti-missile defense system in Songju, South Korea. Moon, who is 64 years old, has policy plan to follow up the liberal group's policies in the president Roh Myung-hyun's time. This is understandable because as Roh Myung-hyun came in power, South Korea closely established good relations with North Korea through large-scale relief deliveries and carry out joint economic projects. Then Moon served as a chief of staff of President Roh Myung-hyun. The question is, how will the relationship be between South Korea and United States? In fact, Moon Jae-in has strongly criticized Park Geun-hye's decision to allow the United States to install anti-missile turret in Songju. Moon feels that the policy approach to North Korea has failed. Moon will hold dialogue approach with North Korea to deal with its nuclear ambitions. In regard to the change in policy, it is likely that the United States, which has recently put pressure on North Korea, is considering its diplomatic steps with South Korea under the leadership of newly elected President Moon Jae-in. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event happened on May the 12th, 1998. The Trisakti Tragedy. Trisakti Tragedy was a shooting incident happened on May the 12th, 1998, against the students during a protest which demanded President Suharto to step down from his position. The shooting killed 4 students of Trisakti University and wounded tens of students. The fallen students are Elang Mulia Lesmana, Heri Hertanto, Hafidin Royan, and Hendriawan C. The demonstration was caused by the weakening Indonesian economy in early 1998, which was affected by Asian financial crisis. Therefore, the students staged a great demonstration at the building of the House of Representatives or DPR in Jakarta. We continued into May the 12th, 2008. The Sichuan earthquake was a 7.9 Richter scale earthquake with epicenter in Wenchuan, Sichuan Province, People's Republic of China. It occurred on May 12, 2008, 2:28 p.m. local time. It was reported that a tremor was also felt in Bangkok, Thailand. According to Chinese government official report, the casualties reached 14,866. This was the worst earthquake in China since the Tangshan earthquake in 1976, which killed 242,000 people. The Chinese government moved quickly. 2 hours after the earthquake, Prime Minister Wen Jiabao flew directly into the location. At the same day, Chinese military deployed more than 50,000 soldiers to aid the rescue mission. In addition, Chinese Red Cross sent 557 tents and 2,500 blankets to the Wenchuan Regency. Suchi Foundation from Taiwan came as the first international aid which was permitted by the government of China. We end the day in history with an event in 1941. German engineer Konrad Zuse presented the Z3, the first programmable automatic computer in Berlin. Konrad Zuse is a civil engineer and computer pioneer. His greatest achievement was the first functional program-controlled Turing-complete Z3. In 1941, the program was saved in a paper tape. Zuse also designed the first high-level programming language, Plan Calcul, which was the first published in 1948. Although it was merely theoretical, because the language was not implemented during his life and did not directly influence the early programming language. Besides engineering, Zuse also established one of the early computer businesses in 1946. The company produced the Z4, the second commercial computer leased by ETH Zurich in 1950. However, due to the Second World War, many works of Zuse were not recorded both in US and Great Britain. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today's edition is Indonesia committed to strengthening the role of IORA. Listener, Indonesia is committed to strengthening the role of Indian Ocean Rim Association or IORA in order to develop regional security and welfare. That was stated by Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla in his opening remark of IORA Ministerial Conference in Jakarta last Wednesday, the 10th of May. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said, "As a country located in Indian Ocean, and as an archipelagic country that is united by the sea, Indonesia is committed to awakening the marine spirit." Therefore, the Vice President expressed the highest appreciation for the member countries and dialogue partners of IORA that attended the Second Ministerial Conference. He greatly appreciated the voluntary commitment made by the members and partners of IORA to contribute in implementing the blue economy financing, which was the core of the conference. The Vice President Yusuf Kalla also explained that in the national level, Indonesia has made a strategic plan to develop a sustainable blue economy, such as by implementing 70% target of ocean plastic garbage reduction until 2030. He encouraged the IORA countries to pay full attention to the efforts against fish theft. He views that the theft of fish, which was part of the sea wealth and livelihood source of the people, is a transnational crime needing global attention. Furthermore, Vice President Yusuf Kalla remarked that the ocean is the world's future. Millions of people across the globe depend their lives onto the sea as the biggest source of protein. Besides, the sea also provides jobs for more than 200 million people. However, he regretted people's activities, which had polluted the sea that caused coastal habitat loss and fish shrinkage. The senior official meeting, part of the Second IORA Blue Economy Conference, agreed the Jakarta Declaration for Blue Economy as the guidance for the development of such economy in the IORA region by considering the sustainability of the nature. That was stated by the Maritime Sovereignty Deputy of Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs, Arif Hafaz Ugroseno, who led the senior official meeting, as released by Antara. In the session, Jakarta Declaration has included several priority sectors such as fishery, renewable energy, ports and shipping, mining, sea tourism, as well as sea research and development. The ministerial meeting also discussed voluntary commitments, claimed as one of significant achievements of IORA's 21 member countries. The commitment contains the will of IORA member countries to realize the blue economy concept and to open the cooperation opportunity with other IORA member countries. Indonesia, India, Singapore, and Australia were the countries which explicitly stated their commitment to implement the blue economy. The commitment came up in various forms, such as training and capacity increase of port management, coral reef restoration, and mitigation of weather changes effect. IORA member countries, by consensus, agreed the importance of funding scheme to carry out the blue economy projects by involving private sectors. The members also saw sustainability as an inseparable part of the blue economy concept. The second IORA ministerial conference was held in Jakarta the 8th until the 10th of May 2017. Listener, that was Focus Today.
Jakarta residents will soon be able to get a queue number for applying or renewing their passport online under a new service which will take effect starting on May 16. Supreme Audit Agency BPK stated that Freeport Indonesia has caused environmental damages by dumping their mining waste to the surrounding forest, river, outfalls, and sea. 6 Japanese citizens have been deported to their home country via Central Airport Jayapura, Papua, over alleged visa misuse. Jayapura Immigration Office Head Yopi Watimena said in Jayapura on Thursday, May 11, that 6 Japanese citizens were found to have illegally taken pictures for a documentary film in Wamena. Export of palm oil product increased by 23.5% year-on-year to 8.02 million tons in the first quarter of this year. Data from the Indonesian Association of Oil Palm Producers, GAPKI, shows. The second Makassar International Aid Festival and Forum is slated to take place in Makassar, South Sulawesi on September 6 to 10. Makassar Mayor Muhammad Ramdan Pumanto has said recently in Depok, West Java, that the 5-day festival Dub 8F will feature more than 100,000 art performances ranging from fashion to fiction writing. And the last item, Jakarta High Court has received the jail sentence suspension request letter submitted by lawyers of the former Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama. The court spokesman Johannes Suhadi said that the letter will be given to the panel of judges who handle Basuki case to be evaluated. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listen to the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan, Takashi Kawai from Japan, Akio Uemura from Japan, Prithviraj Purkayasta from India, Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India, Adita Pritika Subramanian from India, Titong Yang from China, Kong Lei from China, Chao Yanping from China, and Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to culinary tour to South Tapanuli, North Sumatra. Stay tuned. Listener, South Tapanuli is one of districts in North Sumatra. The majority of the population are Batak Angkola and Mandailing tribes. Talking about tourism, South Tapanuli is no less beautiful than any other districts in North Sumatra. The district has a variety of interesting attractions, such as Cek Dam Artificial Lake in Pargarutan, Siasis Lake, Marsabut Lake, Aik Parasariran and Aik Sijorni bathing places, Simanggo-Manggo Sipirok Hill, Indigenous Palace in Marataiz, traditional ulos cloth weaving and natural panorama in Sipirok area. Listener traveling to South Tapanuli, do not forget to taste the typical culinary of the local community. One of them is holat. Holat is a food consisting of carp or tilapia and fresh sauce containing a mixture of seasoning with balaka. It looks like a soup, but the sauce is more tasty. Cold fish or tilapia, which becomes the main raw material, served fully from the head up to tail. The fish, which is previously roasted, served by dipping it into the gravy, along with pieces of pakat, a kind of young rattan. The rattan is burned, peeled out, and the inside is cut into pieces and placed on the plate. It feels tender and slightly bitter. Listener, holat was tasty. The savory taste of gravy comes from balaka. Balaka tree is also called malaka tree, kamloko or Indian gooseberry, and are obtained from forest along Bukit Barisan in South Tapanuli. Usually people use the sap of balaka. Before the balaka is cooked, the wood is washed first, then scraped up as much as needed. Besides being able to lavish the food, the sap of balaka is also good for health. anyone who drank the holat gravy, they feel more fresh. Most local people also believed that various parts of balaka plants contain good antioxidants for a human body and retains free radicals. This is the factor that Batak people enjoy the holat. In the period before the entry of Islam in Tapanuli, holat is the food of the kings. The food is served at night only for kings. In Batak language, holat means kelait. Therefore, this culinary is somewhat kelait and bitter. Now, holat is not only enjoyed by the king. Ordinary people can also enjoy holat. Restaurants in South Tapanuli and Medan also have a lot to serve this local culinary. You can eat holat with a plate of rice or eaten just like a fish soup. The price is quite cheap, about 15,000 to 20,000 rupiah, serving with a plate of rice and chili sauce. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Holat Culinary. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about National Nurse Day. Indonesian people know National Nurse Day, including the nurses themselves. Commemorating the National Nurse Day is actually to remember the first establishment of the nurse organization, Indonesian National Nurse Association, or PPNI. This organization was established on March 17, 1974. This professional organization was established because there are several nurses that need to have an organization to gather all nurses in Indonesia. This organization is aimed at organizing, developing, and increasing safe nursing practice, competence, quality, and professionalism for Indonesian people. The members of PPNI have played real role in the society by narrowing the gap in medical service, facilitating health access, improving similar quality health services. These aspects makes Marcelinus Welip determined to become a nurse in his homeland, Papua. There are also other aspects that make him want to be a nurse. The moment was when he saw a nurse taking care of his father with sincere heart. The guy often called Marcel is dedicating his life to serve and provide inspiration for other medical workers in Papua. Marcel has been working in Towe District Public Health Center in the middle of the tropical jungle in Papua. This area, mostly inhabited by native Papua people, is far from medical access. Marcel was ready to quit from his position as the head of Public Health Center Administration in Arso, Kirom, Papua, to save more than 1,900 people in 7 villages that he visits regularly. Towe District is an abbreviation of Web District Kerom. There are 7 villages, including Towe, such as Towe Atas, Towe Hitam, Milky, Lules, Terfonis, and Tefalma. The condition in this area is very alarming because the people do not know healthy lifestyle. This is also the big reason why Marcel wants to provide health service in the area. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miss Leni that informed you about National Nurse Day. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miss Leni.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. To initiate today's edition, let's enjoy together a song from a dangdut singer that was popular in the 70s to 90s, Arafik, with a song entitled Lirikan Matamu. Stay tuned at voi.co.id.
Bibir merah tersenyum mata.
Listener, you've just listened to a song entitled Lirikan Matamu from Arafik, one of Indonesian famous dangdut singers. In each his performance, Arafik always performed with a unique costume. His stage costumes were nuanced by Elvis Presley's stage costume, but with bright colors like those worn by Indian singers. So many people say that his performance is like an Indian singer. His songs got warm response from dangdut music lovers in the 70s to 90s. There are some songs that depict a man's admiration for women, as in the song Lirikan Matamu and Pandangan Pertama. Well, listener, I will play you a song entitled Pandangan Pertama. Stay tuned.
Pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa. Pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa. Seolah-olah hanya impian yang berlalu. Sungguh tak kusangka dan rasa tak percaya. Sadar dibuatnya. Aku berjumpa. Pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa. Seolah-olah hanya impian yang berlalu. Sungguh tak kusangka dan rasa tak percaya. Gadis secantik dia datang menghampiriku. Hampir-hampir aku sadar dibuatnya. pertama awal aku berjumpa. Rasanya tak ingin lagi untuk berpisah, entah karena mengapa aku sendiri tak tahu. Jangan-jangan hati telah tersarang cinta.
Listener, thank you for still listening to Music Corner with me, Dee. Today, we play some dangdut songs from Arafik. The singer was born in 1958, and after being successful in music world, he also played in the movie and become a director. Arafik passed away in 2013, leaving many memories for his fans. To close today's Music Corner, we will listen to a song entitled Cantik. Thank you for listening and see you at the next Music Corner. Thank you.
Cantik, oh cantik, sangat memikat hati. Bila sedang berjalan, nampak asik sekali. Misalkan dia bunga, pasti ku sirami. Ku pagar dan ku jaga dengan sepenuh hati. Biar akan ku coba menghampirinya nanti. Sangat memikat hati. Bila sedang berjalan, nampak asik sekali. Misalkan dia bunga, pasti ku sirami. Ku pagar dan ku jaga dengan sepenuh hati. Biar akan ku coba menghampirinya nanti.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.